pollution just got kicked up a notch.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Oh, look at this. I'm already doing it. I'm jumping the gun. I want to get into this discussion so badly with Dr. Jeff today during the first half hour. We're going to be talking about childhood obesity. This is really, really sad. Then we're going to be joined by Alex Leaf, our news director, to talk about the real caveman diet. Would the real caveman diet please stand up? Every time you turn around, somebody is giving their version of the caveman diet, the hunter-gatherer diet. We're going to get to the bottom of that, applying some critical thinking in just a moment. But without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J, how you doing?
Doing good. How about you, Carl?
Good. So I got to tell people something. So Dr. Jeff has become the ultimate carnivore. So we talked about his grass-fed beef that he picked up the other day. It was like a 12-foot-tall palletized stack of nicely portioned out beef, and now he's even getting grass-fed lamb. Is that right?
Yeah, I got a guy that he pastures these nice little lambs, and you know they feed on a variety of grass. And I went and got one, but you know what? I was a little disappointed because I pulled up, and you know, I got that pallet full of beef, which was like I don't know, 1,200 pounds or 800 pounds. And they come out with this little box of lamb.
Yeah.
And I forgot the lamb was much smaller.
Well, you got to remember, but lamb is like a dog, you know, like a medium-sized dog. That's all it is. So,
I had some lamb chops over the weekend on the barbecue.
So let me ask you a question. This is a frustration of mine when I buy lamb. Was the marrow still in the lamb chop, or did they remove it?
No, it was still in.
Oh, you're lucky. So a lot of places now remove the marrow from the bone of the lamb chop.
No, I tell them leave it in.
Yeah, you got to tell them to leave it in because you want that marrow. That marrow is very, very important to you.
Then they made like pepperoni sticks, and I got some brats. Oh, man, it's just, whew.
Yeah. Damn, Dr. J, too bad the summer's over, man. We come over for a barbecue.
Man, you ain't kidding. Well, this next year, man, I'm going to hook you up. We're going to have a big old barbecue when you're up here.
We should do that. We should actually have, you know what we should have? We should have a come to Montana and hang out with AAP next year where people come in and we have like a big, like in a big open park where we got a pig on a spit spinning and I mean, do it the caveman style.
All right. I'm all for that. That sounds like a good idea.
I know, man. And there's no better place to do it than Montana. Let's face it.
Oh, beautiful.
All right. So we're talking about something a little bit more serious today, and that's childhood obesity. It's very, very sad, isn't it?
You know, it is, and I decided about this topic because I'm just getting more and more frustrated. You know, when you look at places like Montana and other parts of the world country, where we've only got about 3 months worth of summer, and then it's winter, so people wear a lot of clothes. And I found out that one in five children between 6 and 17 are considered overweight.
Isn't that sad? 20% of the child population, 20%.
Well, but wait a minute. There are some communities that it's as high as 40%. That is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, and these numbers are up they have tripled since the 1980s. So, Carl, what has changed since the 1980s?
Oh, no, what? A lot of things have changed. The quality of food, the children don't... You know, I was listening to a radio show on the way into the studio this morning. You know, physical education is virtually non-existent in school today.
It's they don't have to do it.
Yeah, if you feel that it's too hard for you, you don't have to do it. The whole idea of physical education is to do something hard for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we were in school, it was like taking English. It was mandatory, and they didn't let people sit on the sidelines. I mean, everybody had to participate. And, you know, we did things, you know, from wrestling to trampoline to basketball, flag football. I mean, there was a variety of things that not everybody was good at. And, of course, you know, the old dodgeball that people didn't like to play, that was fun. But, you know, the whole idea was you were being active, at least, you know, for a half hour or however long that class was during the day.
Do you even think they have dodgeball today? I would imagine in today's words hurt people environment.
Yeah.
That no kid is going to play dodgeball because they probably say that's bullying. That's like a sport of bullying.
You know, that's ridiculous. And yeah, you know, I mean, it was fun, and sometimes the smaller people would get picked on. But the thing about it is, taught teamwork. Because just because you went out, if your team didn't win, you know, you had to figure out how to take your better players, your more athletic people, and protect the people that weren't as good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah,
but that's what they forget about, you know, is all of that stuff. But
the problem with childhood obesity, Dr. J, is that when you talk about it, all people focus on is you're talking about someone's body image, and it's all about self-esteem, but it's not. It's about diseases.
It's about health, folks. I mean, you know, I'm so tired of, you know, society saying, oh, you know, it's okay to be large. You were born that way. No, you were not. You were born about 7 pounds or 8 pounds or 6 pounds. You weren't born overweight.
Right.
I mean, that's a falsehood. But, yeah, that's the big problem is, you know, it isn't just about self-image. It's about your health. Man, type 2 diabetes is what most of these kids are ending up with.
And if a child has type 2 diabetes, listen, children today are developing diseases that were only associated with elderly people. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, colorectal cancer in 12-year-olds. You have breast cancer in 9- and 10-year-old girls. I mean, this is unheard of, but it's popular. It's happening today in large numbers.
Childhood obesity is the second leading behavioral contributor to the death in the USA.
Yeah, and think about that. Behavioral.
Behavioral, exactly. But, you know, kids are, you know, being overweight. And we're not talking about, you know, a little, you know, one-year-old having some chunky legs. We're talking about being overweight, being fat. You know, and again, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, we got to be honest with ourselves.
Right.
High blood pressure. A kid having high blood pressure, parents, what's wrong with you? I mean, you know, don't go to the doctor and go, oh, well, you know, he's a little overweight, so
But you know what, Dr. J? When you see these kids who are way, way overweight, you usually see parents that are also way, way overweight. You don't see an extremely overweight child. You can see it. You can see it. There are anomalies to this statement. But you very rarely see a kid who's like 50 pounds overweight at 10 years old and the parents aren't, you know, 100 pounds overweight at 35 years old or whatever. I mean, usually they learn this from their families.
And I agree with you. And, you know, I see it all the time. And you can't help to stare and go, what is wrong? I mean, you know, I know that, you know, overeating can be a disorder. It's a disease. But you know what? So is drugs and alcohol. There's help for these things, but
right.
You got to be able to help yourself.
But you know what you know what the difference is, Jeff? So you and I could be on a mainstream TV show talking about heroin addiction. We could say, you know, the heroin addict has got an illness. They need to be helped. This is bad behavior. But you can't say that about obesity. You can't say that about people who overeat. You can't say the truth because in this politically correct environment, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, guess what? The heroin addict's feelings are hurt, too, when you say that there's something wrong with them.
Well, and what about the alcoholic? I mean, you know, until he realizes he has a problem, you know, you're going to hurt their feelings. Tell them you got a drinking problem. I'm sorry, folks. You know, I'm very passionate about this because, you know, we are killing our kids.
Yes.
And we're killing ourselves, too. But, I mean, come on. You know, kids being depressed and having anxiety, and we're talking about elementary school kids. You know, a poor academic performance. I mean, you know, it's been proven that kids who are overweight, you know, psychologically, they've got a lower self-esteem. They just don't care, you know, so they don't excel in anything.
Well, it's been proven that adults who are overweight don't have the cognitive capacity that they would had they not been overweight. Body fat increases whole body inflammation, and whole body inflammation messes with the brain.
Man, you know, I mean, what's next? You know, kids are going to be having heart attacks.
They do. No. They're doing it now. You see some of these kids playing football today. You see 12-year-olds that are 260 pounds, and then they stroke out on the field, and somebody blames creatine. No. This kid had probably had a heart condition, underlying heart condition, from being overweight for so long. You're seeing it now. You're seeing kids with colon cancer. I mean, you see 10 and 12-year-olds having resections of their intestines and their colons because they have colon cancer. You see little girls being diagnosed with breast cancer. Their breast tissue is just forming, 10 years old, 11 years old, and they're developing breast cancer. We're going to see in the next 30 years if things keep going the way they're going, and they're going to, because no one's talking about – all they talk about is healthcare. They don't talk about being healthy. We're going to see in the next 30 years children dying before they can have children and complete gene lines being wiped out of the gene pool.
Yeah, we are on that way. You know, and again, you sit back and you go, what changed from the 80s? Well, like you said, I think the biggest problem is the TV, the media.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we are pushing junk, not only on the kids, but we're pushing it on the parents. I mean, come on, you know, a little 2-year-old doesn't have an opportunity to choose what he's going to eat. You know, a 16 or 17-year-old, okay, you know, they're making some of their own decisions. But a young kid, that's the parents. You know, don't be swayed into, you know, all this junk that we're being, processed foods. I mean, do you ever go into the grocery store, which I know you do? I like going in there and watching people. And you can look at what's in somebody's cart and not even see the person. And that's what I like to do, is I like to look in the cart, and then I know what that person's going to look like.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
I know it's probably not good. My wife gets on me for staring, but it's like, I can't help it. You know, I want to go up and say, what is wrong with you? You know, you got a whole cart full of bologna and snackables. I mean, is this what you're feeding your kid because you're too busy?
But you know what's even worse, Dr. J?
What?
The amount of sugar that parents feed children today is unflipping believable. Elisa was reading a study the other day, and they were talking about, we're talking about children from 2 years old and up are consuming like 30% of their calories a day in simple sugars.
Well, look at what they're feeding them. I mean, you know, people aren't even buying juice anymore. They're buying the fake juice, high corn syrups with 1% fruit juice. I mean, and I understand that, you know, times are tough.
Yeah, it's 99 cents a gallon, that stuff, right?
Oh. Let me tell you something, Carl. I was poor years ago, and I had 3 kids. And you know what? We were able to eat healthy. You know, you might not be able to afford to go out, but when you look at, you know, you can buy chicken legs. What are they, 79 cents a pound?
Yeah, and thighs are cheap too, right?
Yeah, thighs. I mean, we ate chicken legs. We ate thighs. We had peanut butter. We had jelly. You know, I mean, you ate things that didn't cost a lot. But when you look at the people who say they don't have the money to eat healthy, and then you look at what they're buying, when you buy this processed frozen garbage, it's more expensive. Or you're going out and eating all the time.
Right.
I mean, it's more expensive than cooking healthy.
Yeah.
I saw this study here. This is another, just the way, you know, kids think. A lot of times we as parents think that, you know, little kids don't pay attention. Well, this study said that a lot of parents will pick healthy snacks for their kids, but they themselves will eat garbage. And what the kid sees in reverse is that I need to give the healthy snacks to my mother, and I need to eat that garbage.
Oh, wow.
It worked. I said, this was a study that was done overseas. So, again, you know, you got to set an example for your kids. You know, you can't tell your kid to clean their room up, and then your room is a mess. How can you teach them to eat healthy? And, you know, I mean, so many parents, oh, my kids don't like broccoli, they don't like this, they only like this. Well, that's your fault. You know, you should have introduced those foods to them at a young age.
Well, and they have to see you eating it, too, as you point out.
Yeah.
If you if you're not eating a healthy diet, your kids aren't going to eat a healthy diet because you tell them to. Remember when, back in the day when we were kids, our parents had a saying to make up for this, right? Like, if your father,
right.
my father smoked cigarettes, and he said, "Don't, I don't want you to smoke. Do as I say, not as I do." That's the stupidest thing. We're always going to do as you do.
Exactly.
It's terrible. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and let's address what really causes childhood obesity when we come back. Stay tuned.
Know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation, Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs, revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So everybody heard me coughing the entire break just now. I just put this chewing gum in my mouth, and I swear to God, as soon as I put it in my mouth, the coolness of it like makes my throat tighten up. And I just realized my microphone was open the whole time. So there you go. So now what it sounds like in the studio when I'm by myself.
Muted, so I didn't hear it.
Okay, so really, childhood obesity. Can we just blame the parents and get it over with? Because I really think that's where the problem lies.
Well, let me start with why nature made two breasts. Why are mothers in such a big hurry to quit breastfeeding and get on that junk that you buy at the store? That's my number one biggest problem, and I think that's what starts it all. I mean, what was the sales of infant formula 50 years ago?
Well, unfortunately, I was formula fed because they told my mother that was better than breast milk, and they lied.
Well, they do lie. I mean, you look at it, doesn't nature, you know, doesn't the good Lord know what he's got? You got free milk there.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
You know, duplicate it. I mean, so that's my biggest problem. If you go down the baby aisle, I mean, look at what they're introducing as baby snacks. They're introducing sugar and salt and saturated fats at a very young age. You know, whatever you introduce to that child, he will become accustomed. You know, parents who are vegetarians and start their kids at an infant stage going that route, you know, they don't know what other things taste like. So that's the first, I think, biggest issue is why our mothers quit breastfeeding.
Well, I want to throw something in here. So Elisa and I went to a family function one time, and one of her relatives had a young baby there, and the baby was just starting to eat solid food. Do you remember those Vienna sausages? They're like spam. That means like the worst processed meat you can buy. They're like 65 cents for a little can of five. And they're giving the baby that to eat. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, that's got so much sodium in it. Preservatives, artificial agents. And the meat that they use in there is like the worst meat. You can't sell the meat unless you grind it up and people can't tell what it looks like.
I think in this country, Carl, we're lazy. You know, I remember I was overseas traveling. And I was coming out of, Holland or someplace a few years ago. And this young mama, we were getting into the seat, and she looked at me and she said, "Here, would you hold my baby?" And I was kind of shocked that a stranger would say, "Hold my baby." And I said, "Sure." She sat down and whipped out her nib right there and breastfed. No blanket, no nothing. And I was embarrassed, but she wasn't. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, that's the difference over here is, you know, something that is natural, we've turned into something
sexual.
Terrible.
Yes, we made it sexual.
So
exactly.
People don't want to do it. You can't do it in public. You can't do it. Come on, you know. Women have been breastfeeding since Eve. I mean, since the dawn of time. I mean, that's why it's there. But anyhow, not to get off on that because I'm not a woman, and I know that there are situations, so hopefully I didn't offend anybody. But, again, it's free. Bad eating habits, I think, again, it's the parents that develop these bad eating habits for these kids.
If you have an obese child, it's your fault. If you're a parent and you have an obese child between the ages of 2 and 10 years old, it's your fault.
Yeah. Go look in your cabinet. I guarantee you got Twinkies, you got cookies. And again, you know, we're not ever saying that you should never do those things. But have it on a special occasion. You know, let them cheat once a week.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. J. How would society view a child that's 8 years old and an alcoholic, that's drinking alcohol all the time at home?
It would be unacceptable. Or a drug addict, right?
Smoking cigarettes. They would go to the parents and say, "We got to take the kid away from you because you're not a good parent."
Yeah.
So why isn't childhood obesity, which is the result of unbridled eating of the wrong foods, not criticized. Why aren't the parents criticized for that if they would be criticized for letting their child drink alcohol?
You know, because, again, it's society is ruling our values. I mean, you know, society says it's okay to be big. We're big bone. Love yourself. No, don't love yourself. You know, I mean, you need to be healthy, you know, because how are you going to be a parent, you know, and take care of a kid if you're dead? Yeah. I mean, again, these are statistics. You smoke, you're going to get cancer. You are obese, you're going to have diabetes, high blood pressure, depression, anxiety, and you're going to be a statistic as the second leading behavioral contributor to the death of your child.
You know what the other thing that shocks me? That I am shocked by the number of people who don't cook at all. I mean, women. I'm not talking about bachelors.
Terrible. It's terrible. I mean, they criticize us, you know, and when I say bodybuilders, I mean the whole, you know, presenting your body as a sport. People criticize that sport all the time, but we're the only ones that are out there prepping our food. We're conscious about what goes into our bodies. You know, what's the big deal about cooking? I mean, what is wrong with you mothers not teaching your kids to cook? I mean, where did we go wrong?
Yeah.
It's cheaper. I mean, you know.
Buying a chicken and vegetables, you can eat on it for 2 days, and it's cheaper than buying Hot Pockets and serving that to the kids.
And no one is more busy than you and I. And even like, you know, here, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I said, man, you know, you should go get a Hot Logic. I mean, instead of going out and eating out every single day. And you know what they say? I don't know how to use it. You plug it in. Oh, well, I'm going to have to find recipes. What do you mean find recipes?
Just throw some raw chicken and some raw vegetables in it, and that's you're done.
Yeah, but again, people are lazy. That's what it comes down to. They're lazy. It's much easier to go out to Mickey D's or, you know, someplace and get some fast food. And they don't care at the end of the day. But, you know, another thing, too, is back when we were in school, kids were not allowed to leave school for lunch. So you had two choices. You had what the school provided, which, again, was supposed to be, you know, the right food groups, or you had what you brought from home. Now these kids leave, and, you know, they're out eating garbage for lunch.
Well, it's even worse than that. So you have schools that are looking to make more money, and they're letting Papa John's actually into school. They have a Papa John's unit in the school where kids go and buy pizza. They have crap fast food in the schools, so the kid can buy the food from the school, or they can buy the food from the fast food place that vied to be in that school.
And they're throwing a big tizzy about having soda in the soda machines, you know, and they're doing the same thing. So again, I blame it on the parents number one, and then I blame it on the parents number two because they have been tricked by, you know, advertising, the food industry that are only in it for the dollar. They don't care about our health and well-being. So again, parents, you know, come on. You know, get your kid on a healthy eating plan. If you're thinking about having kids, don't make the same mistake as your neighbors. You know, you should care enough about your kids. Like you said, Carl, you wouldn't go give them cigarettes and say, hey, I want you to start smoking. Well, why would you feed them crap that's going to contribute to some illness very soon on?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't you feel bad if they just keel over and had a stroke at the age of six?
So we only have a couple minutes. I got to ask you a question. Every year you take time to go and help with a children's camp that I know that you're also a big supporter of as well. When these kids are at the camps, does that camp work hard to serve good food?
They do. You know, I've been working with the camp about the quality of the food. It is actually probably the healthiest food they have. The only unhealthy thing is Dr. Jeff brings a little candy just for fun. But again, it's all in fun. But no, the camp actually is very healthy. I mean, they are cooking those meals. They are making chicken breast. They are making potatoes. They're making spaghetti. So it's not like your normal camp food. You know, they'll have hot dogs one day. They'll have hamburgers.
Right.
But for the most part, it's probably much higher quality than what they get at home. I mean, and guess what? The kids who come there going, oh, I don't like spaghetti, they don't like it because they've never had it. You know, once they try it, they leave that camp going, wow, this food is great. But, you know, kind of in closing, I mean, you know, not only are we developing spiritual, but again, you know, you only got one body, folks. You guys take better care of your car than you do of your own body and your kids. Why is that? You can go get a new car, but you can't change in your body. You can't get a new kid. I mean, you know, so let's start taking some preventive action, and let's start to see these statistics going down, because I know I'm not going to quit talking about it, and I know, Carl, you're not going to quit talking about it. So.
No. And real quick, before we end up this interview, anything exciting going on with Supplement Santa?
Yeah, Supplement Santa, September 14th, live on Facebook. You got to log on to Dr. Jeff Galini on that broadcast. It's going to be 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. That's 6 o'clock L.A., 9 o'clock New York. Like it, share it, and tell me why you should win. And I got a whole bunch of stuff given away. Hey, Carl, I also wanted to say one thing, too. If there's any parents out there that are going, man, I don't even know where to start, send me an email. I'll get you off a healthy eating plan that not only will help you get on the right track, but again, will help your kids, too.
Excellent, Dr. J. Thanks so much, brother.
All right, take care.
See you next week. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to investigate the caveman diet, the hunter-gatherer diet. And we're going to get to the bottom of what is the real paleo slash hunter-gatherer slash caveman diet. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New MassPro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Can't touch us. Can't touch the show. Nobody can. We're uncorruptible here. And here's proof of it. Alex Leaf is our news director. Also has his own nutritional business called Leaf Nutrition. What's the website again, Alex?
Leaf-nutrition.com.
That should be easy to remember, huh?
Yeah. Well, the dash is what kills it.
Was there already a Leaf Nutrition, all one word, taken?
Somebody owns the website, and if I wanted to get it, I would have had to pay a couple thousand dollars. So it was just like, okay, I'll go with the dash.
Yeah, exactly. Good move. So it's pretty much understood that what is considered the paleo diet, the hunter-gatherer diet, seems to elicit some health benefits in average people as compared to the standard American diet. That's pretty undeniable. But what becomes a problem is the different templates out there that seem to be purported to be the quote-unquote hunter-gatherer diet or the caveman diet or the paleo diet. There's a lot of discussion, and you've done a lot of research into this. There's lots of tugs of war by people out there who say, no, our diet is the real caveman diet. Talk about it.
Well, you know, there really isn't much to say. I think the entire thing can be surmised in that people, or I should say, the entire paleo movement that Lorne Cordain
started,
reinvigorated, right, after the work of Michael Eads and all that, but it was Lorne Cordain who really made it popular.
Right.
A lot of that is based on anthropological research that Cordain himself helped conduct, that looked at the estimations of what modern hunter-gatherer tribes and ancient tribes from paleo research ate. And a lot of this came pretty much exclusively from what was found in their campsites. There are exceptions with things like finding DNA in the teeth of skulls and being able to find out what foods it was from, which is actually one way that we discovered that our ancestors were eating grains, you know, 14,000 years ago, which basically, you know, knocks paleo upside the head saying, well, you were wrong. But for the most part, our entire understanding and what the paleo movement promoted was that we ate a lower carbohydrate diet that was high in fat and protein, because that's what people ate in their campsites. And frankly, it's wrong. It's a very limited view, and I think by looking at a lot of the modern tribes today, like the Kitavans, we can see that there is really no single paleo diet. But while some individuals acknowledge this and try instead to find the similarities between the ancestral diets, such as that they're all based on whole foods and things like that, there's still a tremendous amount of people out there who continue to promote this low carbohydrate as being the, like, ideal diet for health based on the assumption that that's what we're evolved to eat. And it's just not true.
Isn't it? Okay, so when we look at Italy today or Switzerland today, and we look at countries, by and large, in the Middle East, we see very different traditional meals. We see very different herbs and spices. We see ethnicity in food. So why would we believe that all of our ancestors, who clearly roamed around the globe, finding countries like the United States, would all be eating the same foods. They would capitalize on availability and abundance in the areas that they lived. And this actually supports something that I've been saying for a long time. And that is, you don't have to go back to paleo times, to find your best diet. You just need to go back 400 or 500 years to where your ancestors evolved under the foods that were available and make those your core foods today.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that would be a very logical thing for most people to do. I don't quite know what more to say on this topic other than that, being someone who is looking at the research and trying to do my best to combine ancient wisdom with, modern lifestyles, it's just very frustrating to encounter people who are so resistant to the idea that carbohydrates can be healthy.
Well, okay, potatoes are healthy, clearly. Sweet potatoes are healthy. I mean, there's lots of healthy carbohydrates, but I think that part of the problem with this discussion is this. I do agree with you that there is evidence that we ate grains back in that era where people like to point to as the end of our healthy eating styles, the Paleolithic time. But that doesn't mean grains are good, and here's why I say that. In a time of famine, the goal is to keep oneself alive and one's offspring alive. And clearly, the work involved in processing grains and grinding them for the small contribution to nutrition that they would then provide shows desperation in finding food, in my opinion. This is like, okay, it's either eat stuff that we don't really want to eat or die. And when push comes to shove, you're going to eat stuff you really don't want to eat. I still think that, and we see this in oils too, right? Seed oils, they're not good for you, right? I think that there's some validity to the notion that grains are really not the ideal thing for human beings to eat. But the problem is, you can't talk about carbohydrates with somebody injecting grains. No, potatoes, tubers, these are good carbohydrate sources, not necessarily grains. What would critique that statement?
Well, I would say that if you dismiss the notion that grains aren't a healthy part of the diet, even though we've observed our ancestors eat them, then that same argument would have to hold for every paleo observation that we've made. And we therefore can't say that, well, eating meat because our ancestors ate it, it doesn't mean that it's healthy. So you have to carry that argument forward to every other.
But I'm for that. See, this is my point. Part of the problem I have with the paleo movement is this attitude to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? We have things today that we understand that are good. And we have things in today's environment that we know are bad. And not everything that our paleo ancestors did is good just because they did it. They did stuff that shortened their lives too, perhaps. So my attitude is whole foods, absolutely good idea. But what whole foods are you talking about?
Are you talking about eating something that is known to be poisonous? That's a whole food. So you should be eating that because paleo people ate it and died? No. I think that we do need to take a step back from this attitude that, oh, everything from the paleo time is good for us. No, it wasn't good for us. We need to examine everything on an individual basis. And then we need to look at who's eating it and what polymorphism they may have has occurred in them because of where they were raised and what their genetics evolved under and what foods do good with them. People with that APOE allele, fish oil harms them. So would you continue to say, well, no, fish is good. You need to eat a lot of fish. No, it's bad for them.
So I strongly agree with what you're saying in that we cannot make conclusions solely based on observational evidence. I agree completely with that. Just because our ancestors did something doesn't mean we should, and we need to scrutinize it with modern research methods. I entirely agree. But the caveat there is that how do you define what is healthy? Using a plant, for example, we know that plants contain, you know, possibly thousands of bioactive compounds, some of which we haven't even discovered. And it's difficult to test what the effects of including those in our diet are. We also can't exclude the fact that how we process the food and what we consume the food with will influence its health effects, as well as the overall lifestyle. You know, your physical activity levels are clearly going to play an impact on how the amount of carbohydrates you eat impacts your health. And so yeah, I completely agree that we can't look at observations, but at the same time, it's not possible to control for every single variable.
But you don't have to control for every variable. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and then I want to go down this path a little bit. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Coupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using Can-See eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit Can-See eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. Can-See eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Pump up the jam. This is some of my old music right here, baby. Yeah. Okay. So, before we get back into the discussion, I have to say something. I'm getting rid of my iPhone. I am going to get either an Android or, you know, some other Microsoft/Google-based phone. I kid you not. So, Apple is releasing their new phone today. Yesterday, Elisa's phone completely locked up for no reason at all. Today, mine did it. I swear, I believe that they are jamming people's phones today so that people go, I need a new phone, and they sell more iPhones this week than they normally would. And I know that sounds stupid. My phone has always worked perfectly. Today, it just keeps locking up. It won't wake up. It's like someone is taking control of it. And I swear, they want people to run out and buy new phones. And I got news for you. I'm going to go out and buy an Android. Don't you have an Android?
I do, yeah.
I'm getting one of those instead. I'm tired of screwing with Mac. They can keep their highfalutin customers to themselves. I'm done with them. I really am. Anyway. So you don't really need to know what all 1,000 known and unknown constituents of a particular food are doing. But we do have enough evidence, and now with the emerging and wonderfully exciting field of metabolomics or whatever you want to call it, we can now look at things that we know, inflammatory responses and growth factors, and we have enough that we can look at and go, this food is working well for us. This food is wreaking havoc with us. Why not just focus on that for now and not get stuck in the conundrum of, oh, well, we just don't have all the information about all 1,000. If all we know about is what 60 are doing, that's better than not knowing at all.
Well, yes and no. I mean, this gets a lot into the issue of food synergy and reductionism. You know, a lot of people want to look at the effects of specific nutrients on aspects of health, and yet it's very difficult to do that simply because nutrients are influenced by the foods in which they're consumed. And so the argument that I was trying to get across earlier is that, you know, with observational data, you really have to do some give and take. Going back to the grain example, you make a very valid point that just because they were eating it, it doesn't mean it's ideal. And we do have some modern evidence to suggest that eating grains may not be optimal for health. But there's also evidence to suggest that it does greatly benefit health, especially the consumption of whole grains, because of the bioactives and the fiber they contain. And so then when you go back to the observational data and you say, okay, well, why were they eating grains? Was it really because it was a time of famine and they would have preferred other foods? We don't know, because we can't travel back in time. All we do know is that they were consuming it. And so then you have to say, well, we do know it has beneficial effects on health, so the evidence does support the idea that grains can be a healthy part of the diet. Now, refined grains, those have been shown to be pretty bad for health. And so it comes back to, well, modern processing methods. Were our ancestors refining the grains? No, not necessarily. They didn't have the capability to do that. Maybe they ground it up, but it was still the whole grain. And we can apply this to other things as well. For example, what spurred this whole discussion to begin with was that a friend of mine, Richard, over at freetheanimal.com, had blogged about a blog that I wrote back in February based on research, and you might remember this, it was observational data where they followed the Hadza tribe as
right.
they went out foraging.
Yes, yes.
And they found that...
honey. They were gobbling up all the honey. It was like,
yeah.
if the average American ate that much honey, they'd be diabetic in 2 days. But these people are moving all day long.
Yeah, and we have a lot of evidence, experimental evidence, today to show that the overconsumption of sugar, including honey, because there have been studies that have directly compared honey to other forms of sugar and shown that they're the exact same metabolically, which makes sense because, I mean, they're essentially the same composition. But we know that it has detrimental effects on health when you consume it, when you overconsume it in the context of a sedentary lifestyle.
Right.
But the Hadza were eating upwards of 90% of their daily calories from sugar in the form of honey. And yet, I mean, they're lean and they're very metabolically healthy. So what's the difference? Their lifestyle. I mean, they weren't necessarily exercising, but they were moving around constantly. And they were not overeating. Like I said, they were eating upwards of 90% of their daily requirements as honey. So it's not as if they were sitting on the couch in a caloric surplus. They were moving around either at maintenance levels or in a slight caloric deficit. And this completely changes the landscape of how those carbohydrates are handled within the body. They don't cause a problem under those circumstances, not even in the extraordinary amounts that are being consumed by these Hadza men. And so, you know, if you're going to take the paleo approach and say it's a low-carb diet, well, no, I mean, actually...
that's a high-carb diet.
It's a really high-carb diet, and this research is supported by similar cross-sectional data that showed that 24 out of all 26 modern hunter-gatherer tribes that live in the warm climates of South America, Africa, and parts of Europe, they all exploit honey. So it's not just the Hadza. And so you have to wonder, okay, so there's some pretty strong data suggesting that if you lived in a warm climate where these carbohydrates were available, then you're going to be eating a really high carbohydrate diet. And is it harmful, like a lot of people today would have you believe? No. Why? Because you're moving around. You're active.
Right.
What modern evidence supports this? Well, the fact that physical activity in and of itself is able to reduce the buildup of fat tissue around organs, which is what begins the entire metabolic cascade of poor health to begin with, without affecting body composition.
And see,
so it just repartitions the nutrients. You know,
the problem with all of this is when we look at hunter-gatherers, real hunter-gatherers, they are not looking to have abs, and they're not looking to be 235 pounds ripped. They're not doing CrossFit. So we need to address this now. So the meaningfulness of looking at hunter-gatherer diets in the context of what we are looking for specifically in the way of body composition and performance. This is the game-changing discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Alex Leith. He's the news director here at SuperhumanRadio.com. He also writes for Examine.com, and I predict that he's going to be one of the thought leaders when it comes to nutrition in the future. And so here's my question, right? We're so busy debating about the diets that hunter-gatherers ate. So the first question I'd have to say is, do you want to look like a hunter-gatherer? Do you want to be someone who has minimal muscle mass, you know, you look like a very, very average body type. These hunter-gatherers don't look like superior specimens of human beings. And doesn't that actually change the discussion? Like, we're fighting about what hunter-gatherers ate when we really don't want to look like hunter-gatherers or be like hunter-gatherers. We want to be like superhumans. Hunter-gatherers aren't superhumans.
Yeah, I agree. But again, I mean, what you look like isn't exclusively a result of your diet. In fact, I would argue that it's more about your training and lifestyle than it is what you eat.
But my point is, if you trained like we train in this superhuman community here, But you ate the way hunter-gatherers ate, you know, tubers and honey and, you know, would you see the gains that you would normally see if, as opposed to the types of diets that we've adapted to, which, you know, high protein, moderate carbohydrates, moderate fat diets that produce muscle mass and leanness?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think if you took a hunter-gatherer diet, if you took a HUDZA diet and you superimposed that with the heavy multi-joint progressive resistance training and cardio, you would not see a hypermuscular HUDZA. I think the diet would restrict protein synthesis because they're not looking. Remember, evolution saw muscle mass as a metabolically expensive thing, and it wanted it just enough, the lowest effective dose, just enough to get the job done, but no more than that, or you had to go out and forage for more food. So I would say that the HUDZA diet and the HUDZA lifestyle is one where they're balancing the gathering and consumption of calories with the restriction of activity and muscle mass.
Yes, yes, I agree entirely with that, and I think there are many nuances about maximizing body composition and muscle growth that aren't considered in an ancestral lifestyle because, as you said, they don't really care about that. But, you know, that's where do you draw the line for the difference between the diet in terms of what was being eaten and the diet in terms of how and when the food was being eaten? So I agree that, you know, if you just mimicked it 100% where you just go out and forage for food for hours every day after a hard training session and you scarf a bunch of honey with no protein, you know, I agree. I think it would be less optimal than modern dietary practices.
So shouldn't what we be doing, those of us in this community, leveraging what we know is healthy and effective from all periods of time and applying what we understand now that we didn't understand before about nutrient timing and certain food combinations being better than others and so on and so forth, shouldn't this be the renaissance of the ideal nutritional approaches launching forward, leveraging what we've learned, leveraging what we know, and building upon that as opposed to hearkening back and going, no, we just need to start eating that way. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I agree. I think that, you know, we need to combine modern research with ancestral wisdom. Yeah. And I think that that's what a lot of individuals in the superhuman community have done. That's something that I try to do. But, you know, there is, getting back to how this whole discussion started, there is a lot of gray area. You know, I don't think anyone is debating the fact that you need to ensure a minimum amount of protein in each meal to maximize the synthetic response, or that there's certain ways of training that are superior to others. We have very strong and consistent research to show that that's the case across a wide range of foods and populations. On the other hand, you know, it gets where I don't think we have enough research to form solid conclusions is on what types of foods are going to be best under specific situations, because there is so much food out there. I mean, like, infinitely many types of food that a person could consume that I don't think we'll ever find, you know, what is ideal. If I'm looking for a carbohydrate, what's going to be the better source? Some potatoes, some cooked and cooled potatoes, some whole grains. What type of whole grain? You know, you can start to get into those little nuances, but at the end of the day, maybe it's just better to say a whole food carbohydrate. If you like potatoes, eat potatoes. If you like oatmeal, have oatmeal. If you want a slice of bread and it's a nice whole grain, traditionally made bread that only has like 5 ingredients rather than the stuff getting shot out by industry today, then eat your bread. You know, as long as it's a whole foods diet or 90% whole foods diet, I don't think that the individual factors are worth worrying about.
And I'm going to make a prediction. In the years to come, we're going to find out that a lot of the deleterious effects of certain foods on certain people is not necessarily from those foods and the metabolites that they produce through digestion, but a result of a leaky gut and those metabolites escaping the process of digestion and let's say disarming, and those nutrients getting directly into the bloodstream. And this is something I'm working on personally. So, and I share this just kind of as a tidbit into some insight and stuff I'm working on. I have a leaky gut. I know it. I absolutely am positively sure, because it's leaking up into the esophagus, right? I have this silent GERD, and I can make it worse in a day, or I can make it almost non-existent in a day. And when it's the worst, if I drink alcohol or I drink coffee, and I don't drink coffee anymore, but I did have alcohol this weekend, the numbness in my legs that I think is coming from my lumbar spine may not be coming from my lumbar spine. In fact, I'm going to go on the limb and say a lot of diabetic neuropathy is not a result of the sugar in the glucose in the bloodstream, but instead these people also have leaky guts, and these things are escaping into the bloodstream, and the long nerves in the legs are the easiest to attack by these pro-inflammatory invaders that don't even belong in our bloodstream in the first place. And so people who react with gluten intolerance, it may be the gluten, but it's not because your body isn't equipped to digest the gluten. It's getting out of the gut and into the bloodstream somehow. That's my prediction. I'm going to predict that right now. In years to come, you're going to see research that shows that it's not the glucose that's causing the demyelination of the nerves in the feet and the hands. But instead, it's the unmetabolized, free invading particles of food that are escaping the digestive process and getting into the bloodstream.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up. Not necessarily the glucose thing, which would be interesting to see, but when you mentioned the celiac and the gluten, there was a recent study that I wrote about for one of the Examine Research Digests, maybe a month ago. And the study was, its goal was to try to find diagnostic criteria so that we can start saying for certain that people have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And so it ran a bunch of tests on individuals with known celiac disease, individuals who satisfied our current criteria for non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and healthy controls. And one of the biggest takeaways from it, in my opinion, was that it showed that in people with celiac disease, when their gluten gets through their gut to elicit the autoimmune response, that gluten and the immune response is neutralized at the intestinal barrier. And that's where a lot of the damage occurs, with the atrophy of the villi in the small intestine, because the immune response is so significant in that area that it causes damage. But the invader, the gluten peptides and all of the other stuff, none of it makes it through into the bloodstream to affect other parts of the body.
Interesting.
In contrast, people who suffer from non-celiac gluten sensitivity, the ones who complain of brain fog and all of these other extra intestinal symptoms, mm-hmm. or symptoms that occur outside the intestinal tract, mm-hmm. they have an inability, for whatever reason, to neutralize the invaders that leak through the gut at the intestinal wall. And so they actually have signs of systemic inflammation throughout their bloodstream as a result of the leaky gut that they suffer from the ingestion of gluten. So, you know, the gluten acts as the trigger to open up the gut. But for them, a lot of the symptoms they experience are the result of other bacterial and other pathogenic molecules entering into their bloodstream and causing an immune response all across their body. It explains skin rashes, headaches,
yes,
mental fog,
skin,
everything.
Listen. If you suffer from rosacea, redness on the face, or redness in the upper chest, redness in the upper legs, you've got a leaky gut, baby. That's exactly what's going on. I'm speaking from experience. I started to get red skin when this got really bad, and I said to myself, I got to get this under control. I know it's from my gut. I knew it was from my gut because I would eat certain things, and symptoms would get worse. I would cut those things out of my diet, and symptoms would get better. And so people who go around with that constant redness, that's the result of toxins escaping through the skin. And I even have a theory on skin cancer. So I've been thinking a lot about this, right?
It's a hypothesis, Carl.
It's a hypothesis. What did I say, a theory? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a hippopotamus. I have a hippopotamus about skin cancer. So my hippopotamus is that these people who have leaky guts that also lay in the sun or get a lot of sun exposure, those toxins that are caught in the skin are being broke, they're reacting to the sunlight, and they're causing other toxins to be produced because they're actually changing in your skin. And this is where skin cancer is coming from. Now, I know this is a crazy idea. I'm not Dave Asprey. I don't have a product behind this. Okay. But I'm telling you something. I'm convinced that so many of us have a problem with containing the foods we eat in our gut today. Why? I don't know. I can't point at anything. Is it glyphosate? Is it this? Is it that? Is it everything? Yeah, it's probably a little bit of everything. But I'm convinced that this is what's going on with our population today.
Yeah, I think that the intestinal tract and especially the gut microbiome plays a very intimate role in our health and disease. I think that we're only beginning to scratch the surface.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look forward to seeing what research has to come forward. And, you know, the best thing you can do to support a healthy gut and a microbiome is eat your carbohydrate-heavy foods, especially the ones that come with fiber.
Yes, because they feed the good bacteria.
You know, again, low-carbohydrate diet, not so much. You need to get your fiber.
I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about Leaf Nutrition, what's going on,
okay.
Any new clients and that sort of stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Alex Leaf. So, Alex graduated college recently, Bastyr University, a very prestigious university with a degree in nutrition, a master's degree in nutrition. And he has opened up his own establishment. It's called Leaf Nutrition. The website is leaf-nutrition.com. So if you are someone who is in the need of nutritional counseling, this is the kind of guy you want to go to. And that's because he does everything based on science. There's no brotelligence here. Science, critical thinking, and honest approaches, right? You're not going to hear what you want to hear from Alex. You're going to hear what you need to hear. And that's important in the discussion. And I'll tell you something else. While I was just saying that, I was thinking, we will go to a personal trainer to learn how to squat. We'll hire accountants to do our tax work. We hire professionals for all this stuff, but when it comes to eating, we just think we know how to eat. And quite frankly, for those out there who want to attribute all disease to genetics, well, your mom had cancer and now you've got cancer. You also learned your lifestyles from your mom. You learned what foods you like from your mom. And chances are it's those lifestyle and nutritional templates that you learned at a young age that are the reason you develop diseases. And we see that in twin models. We know that there are twins out there. One gets breast cancer, one doesn't. Well, if they're both genetically predisposed to breast cancer and the whole genetic equals disease is accurate, then they both should get breast cancer, and they don't. So talk about Leaf Nutrition. You are underway, but aren't you also working with another clinician right now?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you very much for the kind words. That was a great little introduction there. So Leaf Nutrition has both an on-site business office where I can meet with clients in person, as well as I do have online services for anyone who is unable to meet in person or would just rather prefer to keep things online. I do work alongside other clinicians. I am inside a building with a chiropractor, a midwife, and massage therapist. And I started working alongside them because, well, I was their personal trainer. The owner of the establishment, I've been training him for about 8 months now. And he, you know, he knew that I was going through school and that I was into nutrition. And so he offered to provide all of the business space and everything that I need if I would, if I would create a business legally and go into practice alongside him. So that way he has someone he can refer clients to. Because he is a strong believer in nutrition and the role it plays in health and disease. But, of course, being a chiropractor, he isn't allowed to give nutrition advice.
Right.
So it was really just a very fortunate opportunity for me and something that I didn't want to not go forward with. So I did. I created a business. And I set up practice there so that I can work with an established client base for their nutrition needs and also be able to refer them to midwives, chiropractors, and massage therapists if need be. I also have friends who own gyms in the local area so that I can refer clients to personal trainers if need be, because I'm a firm believer that exercise is yet one more piece of the puzzle that people need to get under their belt in order to achieve optimal health.
You know, and you know what's really funny about this? So I'm listening to you say this, and the reality is that nutrition is kind of like the hub in the middle, right? Everything, it can be made better or worse through nutrition. So you have chiropractors working with people that have issues that can also be affected positively and negatively by their diet. Whether or not the chiropractor's work will actually be quickly effective or slowly effective can be a result of their what they put in their mouth. But the opposite can't be said, right? I mean, really, how your food affects you will not be influenced by some sort of muscular manipulation.
Maybe.
But I know I knew you were going to go there, and I respect you for defending that. But no, really not. I mean, like if a chiropractor, I mean, if unless you have a nerve like a vagus nerve that is causing a problem with gastric emptying, and this can be adjusted through manipulation, that's a different situation. But I mean, just going
going in
and having, like, if you got an elbow problem, and it's an inflammatory related problem, your chiropractor will adjust it, may give you something to rub on it. But then if someone gives you some appropriate nutritional protocols that will actually reduce the inflammation and increase resolvins and get that thing heal, it'll heal faster. The same
yes.
can't be true of manipulating the elbow and causing higher protein synthetic response from your diet. You know
yes.
what I mean?
I agree with that. Under like 95% of circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Chiropractic has
anything.
Very limited
personal training. I mean, look, there are people out there who don't train, but they have fantastic physiques, and it's because of nutrition. Then you have people out there who train like animals, and their diet sucks, and they look like fat slobs anyway.
Yeah, but I would argue those are at the extreme. I think personal training is the one area where you're flat wrong on this one, Carl. I think that how you train, it plays an intimate role with what you eat to influence the overall outcome. So, I mean, I can definitely agree with what you're saying when it comes to things like chiropractic, massage, anything else that you want to throw out there. But when it comes to training, I would say that plays a very, very strong role on how what you eat influences your body.
But, okay, so let me ask you a question. This has been debated within the bodybuilding community, the powerlifting community, and everywhere else around. What's more important, the way you train or the way you eat, to your progress and your success?
I think it depends on your goal. Because if you want to be a powerlifter, then your training sure does matter a crap ton, probably more than your nutrition. Because the only thing you have to worry about with food is eating enough. You know, but with training, you have to have very nuanced periodization schemes so that you can continue to promote gains in strength after you've already hit what many would say is the upper threshold. So I think for most individuals, nutrition is more important, even though training is still very important. But I, you know, it's not a generalization that I would be happy to make for everyone. I think it really does come down to the individual and what their goals are.
So how does it work? If somebody reaches out to you at leaf-nutrition.com, do you have like an intake process? What is an initial consultation cost? Give people some ideas.
Yeah, so for online consultations, which I'm sure most of our listeners is what they would have to do, but if they did want to come see me in person, God, I'd be more than happy to meet them. But for the online stuff, it costs $100. And there's a PayPal button on the website that lets you pay. I get an email notification when I receive payments. And when I see that email, I will then email you back a bunch of intake forms. These include things such as a food frequency questionnaire, a general background info gathering form, and a 3-day food log. And because of that 3-day food log, this should take you a minimum of about 1 week to complete everything. And so when you do finally complete everything, and all the instructions for each document are contained within it, everything is very self-explanatory. And I do my best to make it as easy to understand as possible. And once you do complete everything, you email it back to me, and I request 1 week from the time I receive that email to go over everything and analyze everything. And I will write up a full detailed summary addressing everything that I had you fill out. And I will email this back to you and also schedule a time with you where we can talk on the phone for 1 hour. And during this 1 hour phone call, I will go over the entire document with you and discuss my thoughts. It'll give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you have or inquire about any clarifications on things that I've written. And then that's that. Hope, you know, I include in there a piece for what your current training looks like. And there's a section for you to write down your goals. And if one of your goals is to have a better training routine, then I will be more than happy to, in addition to my nutrition analyzing, to look over your current routine and suggest modifications, even write you an entire new routine if that's what you would prefer. And then hopefully you'd go on your way and be successful. And when you're ready for a reevaluation, we will repeat the process. Of course, I do have a contact box on my website. So if you ever have any questions or, I mean, you know, if you just wanted to shoot me an email at alexleaf@leaf-nutrition.com, Alex Leaf is all one word, and you just have any questions about anything, then, I mean, feel free to reach out. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you do have.
It's very, very thorough. It's very, that's what I wanted people to hear. I wanted people to hear how thorough this is. This isn't like you pay for a consultation, you get on the phone, and somebody goes, well, tell me what you normally eat in a day. Oh, well, cut that out, cut this in. It's like what Alex does is kind of like if you were hiring a contractor to build a house, they wouldn't just hand you a picture of a house and say, this is the house I'm going to build for you. You'd want to know, like, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And this is really how nutrition needs to be done, because I'm telling you something, folks. And I may have never said this before, but I actually said it in a quote that I wrote for Alex. But in the decades to come, therapeutic approaches to nutrition are going to deliver on all the failed promises of medicine. We are seeing this now in management of cancer with therapeutic ketogenic diets. We're seeing this now with the management of Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease with the same thing. There's going to come a time where when you're getting sick, you're not going to run to your doctor. You're going to run to a nutritionist. And it's coming, folks. It's coming. It's really already here, but it's being suppressed by the medical orthodoxy because they're afraid of losing control of this extremely powerful and extremely profitable segment right now. But nutrition will deliver on the failed promises of medicine. You'll see.
You know what I would love to see, actually? Instead of people running to a nutritionist when they get sick, you know, I do agree with that. I think, you know, that nutrition can have a lot, but that's after the fact. I would rather see people just stop getting sick.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, I mean, nutrition is really preventive medicine.
But the problem is the average person, and I don't mean in this audience, we are not average people, okay? So when I say the average person, no one in this that's listening to this podcast should hear I'm talking about them. But your friends, your family, you know who they are. The average person doesn't think about health until they have a symptom and they go, oh my God, something's wrong with me. What they don't realize is by the time the tire is falling off the car, it's so far beyond the original thing that could have been repaired had you gone in and had your ball joints changed when they were supposed to be changed.
Yeah. And
so by the time you have a symptom, you're really a mess already. Because the body really fights hard to stay healthy. And if you're developing symptoms, you may be really far down a rabbit hole that you don't realize, and so it takes longer to fix those problems. But most people just want a pill that makes this symptom go away. That's a mistake. It's a major mistake. Anyway, it's great having you on the show today. Much success. Leaf-nutrition.com. Tell your friends about it if you know people that need some help. Also, thanks to Dr. Jeff Galini. You can message him on superhumanradio.com in the Ask a Scientist area down at the bottom right-hand corner. Alex, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, Carl. You take care.
Okay, take care. And I am going to have a hippopotamus again on another show soon, I promise you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.